John chapter 3, there in verse 7, you must be born again. Hear this man named Nicodemus. Our Lord said that he was a ruler, not just a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. The Pharisees were the very strictest. You know, you read of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the lawyers and the scribes. And the Pharisees were the more strict ones. They were the more conservative, as we would call them, fundamentalists of their days. And they'd seen our Lord do miracles and they'd heard about him. He comes to him. He said, "We've heard." So I wonder if others had put him up to it. And he didn't come and during the daylight. He'd come at night, you know. Probably he didn't want to be seen. And he not only came in the physical night, he came in spiritual darkness. He doesn't understand. He can't see. He can't comprehend. The world in which we live today has so perverted that term, they've born-again Christians. That, you know, sometimes I think we're reluctant to even use that term. But we don't ever have to be afraid to say the very distinct things that God says in His Word. You must be born again. They think being born again is saying a prayer or being baptized or being catechized or so many things. They think that's what being born again is, and we know that it's not. But a man must be. He must be born again. Let's break those five words down just for a minute. Ye must be born again. Ye is a personal word. This message was right to Nicodemus. He didn't say, they must be born again. He said, you. He said, we've heard of you. You must be a great teacher. And the Lord just said, you must be born again. He was speaking to this man before him. And this man standing before him, he was a preacher who taught other preachers. But he was dead in sin. Our Lord said to this religious lost man, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then the next word is must. This is a pressing word. Time is short. Today is the day of salvation. When must you be saved? You must be born again right now. It's not something to put off. Didn't say you must wait. You must. It is imperative. That means it's a command. He didn't say you might want to be, if you want to be. No, you must. Must. It is necessary. Some people think, well, I can take it or leave it. Oh, no. If you, either you must be born again or you must perish. There's no in between. Then the third word, be. You must be. Is a passive word. What this means is salvation is not something you do. It's not something you perform. It's something that God does. We cannot save ourselves. A person has no more to do with his spiritual birth than you had to do with your physical birth. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your mother, your father. You didn't choose your name. You didn't choose when you would be born. God chose all those things. Now listen, and we cannot be saved by faith in Christ. Now listen, we cannot be saved by faith in Christ. What I'm saying is faith in Christ is not the cause of the new birth. It is the result of the new birth. That's why people say, well, just believe. Well, man's not going to believe till God gives him life. See, that's the evidence of life. And most people trust their faith. I'm believing in Christ. The devil's believing, tremble. It's not faith that saves me. It is Christ that saves me. It's not faith that gives me the new birth. He gives me the new birth. And the evidence of that is I have faith. And where there's no new birth, there's no faith. Someone said the new birth is something that is done to you, for you, and in you. And it's all done for you, to you, and in you by God's grace. Not anything we do. Then the fourth word, born. This is a powerful word. As God created the world, now you think about that just for a second. As God created the world, He created life in your soul. When was the earth born? When God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When were you born? When God said. God created the first creation out of nothing. He created you out of a mass of sin. As a mass of sin. As God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul, God has to breathe in you before you will have spiritual life. Because you are dead in trespasses and in sins. Then the last word is a profound word. You must be born again. The new birth is a mystery of grace. It cannot be explained how God in his wonderful grace gives a person life. One moment they're dead, and the next moment they're alive. They live, and they're different. It is beyond our natural comprehension. Nicodemus didn't understand it. He said, "The man, how can he be born again? Must he enter again into his mother's womb?" Now this word again, it has a twofold meaning. First, it means you must be born again, you must be born from above. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow or turning, and of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So you must be born from above. And it also means you must be born the second time. Our first birth was by sinful parents. We received a depraved nature. We were born in their image. We kindly favor our parents a little bit because we have their genes, but we favor them a lot by our old nature. I have faults. My father had faults. But as I get older, I see, boy, that was Bill Walker. I'm born in his image. The second birth is of God, and we bear the image of God. The first birth was of corruptible seed. The second is of incorruptible seed. The first birth was of the flesh. The second is of the spirit. The first birth, we are children of wrath. The second birth, we're children of promise. We're born from above and we're born. Born. Isn't it amazing how it's just like a child being born? The mystery of it. The miracle of it. The miracle of the new birth. God takes the seed of his word and he plants it in your heart and gives life. And that life grows to a child is born. In order for a sinner to be saved, two things have to be done. There has to be redemption. There has to be the purchase of the sinner. Then there has to be regeneration. That is God actually giving you life. Redemption is the work of God. He must do something for the sinner. I think it was someone said one time that Scott Richardson said, before God did something for you, he did something for himself. He has to satisfy his own justice. And then in regeneration, it is the work of God in the sinner. In the sinner. We must. Why must we be born again? Our Lord told Nicodemus there was three reasons. The first one, till a man is born again, Our Lord said he cannot see the kingdom of God. What that means is he cannot understand it. When our Lord spoke, Nicodemus go, what in the world are you talking about? See, when we fail, it affected everything. It affected our minds, our souls, our spirits, our understandings are darkened. We can't see. You read something, you go, I don't understand it. And I understand it why we don't understand it. But he said, you must be given an understanding. You understand this. You didn't do the saving. You understand it was not your work. And he didn't see it. He couldn't understand it. He was a well-educated man, but it didn't help him understand. Now, a man can understand facts. He can understand the scriptures. He can memorize scriptures and still not understand the scriptures. That's sobering, isn't it? And he doesn't understand. He thinks it's in physical knowledge. They are a lot that I have seen that say they believe in the 5 points of Calvinism or the 5 doctrines of grace, and it's nothing more than a head knowledge. And they are so proud, they are so arrogant, they think, well, if you were just as smart as they were, you could figure this out. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. Unless God gives you the understanding, you'll never see. You will never understand. Never. He hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and he revealed it unto babes. He said, our Lord said, that's why he spoke in parables. That seeing they would see and not see, and hearing they would hear and not understand. Don't understand. But oh, when God enables you to see and to understand. It's like the man in John chapter 9 who was born blind. That means he never saw a speck of light, never saw anything. Do you know when he knew he was blind? When God enabled him to see. Oh, now I know what it is to see. Now I understand. Somebody could have tried to describe, well, you know, there's something, the big old ball comes up in the east in the morning. It's called the sun. Well, I can't see it. I don't know. I feel the warmth of it, but I can't see it. But then if you ever see it, go, oh, yeah, that's what he's talking about. Oh, yeah, that's Christ. That's him. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. The natural man, that man we're born with, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for it's foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You have a discernment. You understand, and you know. We know we're limited in what we know and what we understand, but we understand he's Lord. We understand salvation's of the Lord. Jonah learned that. Jonah saw it. The Lord put him in the belly of the fish, and he told him. A man in his natural depraved state, he can't see the condition of his heart. That's what men think, that they can make a decision. Someone said, if you're wrong on the fall, you'll be wrong on everything else. You'll be wrong on everything else. All, everything else. You'll be wrong on it. A man in his depraved state cannot understand the spiritual nature of salvation. He doesn't see the true character of God. He can't see the glory of God. And he can't see the gospel of God's grace. He can't see it. He can't see the importance of it. He can't see his need of it. So you must be born again to be able to see or to understand. You know, God can speak to a child and they can understand. And he can leave a man to his 80s and that man never understand. Age has nothing to do with this when God enables them to understand. Then he said in verse 5, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Well, he's saying you can't reform your life without the new birth. What he's saying, without the new birth, you can't be part of the family of God. Many people think, well, if I'm baptized, I'm part of the family. That ain't what makes you part of the family. He said, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Well, how do we enter? By faith in Christ, who is the way. It's by birth. Then thirdly, verse 6, you must be born again because by nature we are fallen, sinful creatures. That which is born of the flesh is flesh and will never be anything but flesh. It's flesh. And all flesh must die. Well, what is the new birth? If the new birth is such a mystery that no one can explain it, but there's several things in God's word that identify it. This is how you know, yeah, that's the new birth. What does it mean? You have to be raised from the dead. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Do you want to see a picture of it? When he walks up to Lazarus's grave and that man's been dead for 4 days. No question he's dead. His sister says, by now he stinks. And our Lord said, he spoke. And his word went forth in power. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. When God speaks a sinner's name, calls his sheep by name, they're coming forth. That's the evidence of it. That's the new birth. He's alive. He's not dead. And you can see it. You can see it. Because it's real. There's no counterfeiting it. Man may pretend for a little while. And secondly, it is to be a partaker. Before, all you had was a fleshy nature. Now the Bible says you have a divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, to think about that. That now we first had a nature that we did what we did because that was our nature to do that. But now we have a new nature, a divine nature that cannot sin, a nature that will never die, a nature that will live forever. That's everlasting life, a divine nature. You know why? Because we're sons of God. And then it is to have Christ formed in you, Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth. Paul speaking of travailing in birth until Christ is formed in you. As he lived in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, as he lived and walked in this earth in the flesh, he dwells in your body of flesh. He does. It is Christ in you. The hope of glory. And that's what life is. We, in him we live and move and have our being in him. It is to have not only Christ formed in you, but living in you. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we live. Live. Without him, there is no life. Now, that's the mystery. Describe. I can't. I just know that's what the scripture said. This is how you'll know him. He will live in you. He will walk in you. He will rule in you. It's like he comes into the throne of your heart and he sits upon that throne and now he rules. Sin shall not have dominion over you because Christ is in you. And it didn't, you didn't get just a little bit of Christ. And then as you pray and do things, you get a little more of Christ. No, I am complete in him. I got a complete Savior, not a partial Savior. He came and took over. He drove out the other man, the strong man, and spoiled his house and spoiled his goods. Listen, Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among Christ, this mystery among the Gentiles. What is this mystery? As I've already mentioned, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have a hope. He is your hope. And then it is to be a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's a new creation. He didn't come to patch up the old house. It's a new creation. He said, you don't put wine in the old bottles. They'll rend the bottle and the wine will be run out. He said, you don't sew a piece of a cloth onto a new garment. He said, it'll make it worse. He didn't come to reform your old nature. Your old nature is going to fall off when you die. But see, most people think that's the new birth. He's making him more holy. That's not the new birth. That's not being born again. You are a new creation. Me and Sandy worked on a house for about 6 months one time. Now, when we got done, it looked pretty good. But I seen what the studs looked like. I took it all the way down to the bare studs. We rewired it. We did about everything. But you know, when I got done, it was still just an old house. It wasn't a new creation. It was something I patched up. Now, it looked pretty good. That's the way religion looks. It really looks good. But it's made with dead wood. This is something new. New. Never been there before. New. And it never gets old. You think of that. Never gets old. He will never die. In the new birth, we have eyes. We have and it's like your natural mind, your natural body, you have eyes. You see. You see what you can see. You can only see so far because we're limited by our nature, right? Sometimes we have eye trouble and we have to wear glasses or something to fix our eyes. We don't need glasses. A blind man don't need glasses. He needs sight. And we see that it's by faith. And now we see it. As the old man has a body, as the old man has hands, as the old man has an understanding, now we have eyes. Spiritual eyes that we see. We see. We see through a glass darkly. One day we're going to be like him because we're going to see him as he is. What a day that's going to be. And see, now it's not that we have perfect sight, but it's all these other things that get in the way. You see what I'm saying? That's the limit. We see through a glass darkly. That old thing, it just kind of fogs everything up. But one day it won't be that way. And when we see him, we'll know him. We say, that's him. That's him. We have ears by which God enables you to hear his voice. You don't just hear with these. You hear tonight, you hear my voice. As I try to preach, but by God's grace, he enables you to hear. And you say, now I hear. Can you imagine hearing for the first time? Hearing. We have hands of faith by which we can lay hold of Christ and do his will. We have feet which flee to Christ and walk with him in newness of life. Listen, there's a lot of difference between the law and the gospel. I want you to get this. The law demands everything, but gives nothing. Grace demands nothing and gives everything. The law demands everything and gives you nothing. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Be perfect and live, but it don't give you the ability. He doesn't demand anything from you. He demanded it from his son, and he give you everything. That's the difference. How are men and women born again? By the Spirit of God. We know it's by God's sovereign power. Moral persuasion can't give life. I remember when I first began to see some truths, I thought, well, you know, by moral persuasion that you could convince somebody that, you know, what this book teaches is the truth. And I may have convinced them, but they were not any better off. They were twofold more the child of hell than they were before. But that's what it was, just moral persuasion. Logic cannot give life. Paul said, I know whom I believe. He didn't say, I know what I believe. I know whom I believe. It is the Spirit that quickens, the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It is the sovereign, irresistible work of God, the Holy Spirit. Men say, well, man can resist God. We know he can for a while. All men resist him. Ye said, you will not come to me that you might have life. We're not out here seeking the Lord. Oh, no. He must seek us. He must make us willing. And emotional feelings cannot give life. You'll see this illustrated. Do you remember the parable of the sower? There was the wayside. There was the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. That stony ground, it said the seed fell upon the stony ground and immediately it sprang up. Immediately. Wow, man, boy, you're changing that person, Danny. He just grabbed it and he's seized and he's alive. Immediately. But because there's no depth there, there's no moisture, when the sun is spring up, immediately they wither away. It was just an emotional experience. They received, oh my goodness, what grace, what mercy. What about when the sun springs up and there's no feeling? I can tell you personally, most of the time there's not much feeling at all. Most time it's a feeling of despair. I wished it wasn't so, but it's just a fact. It's just a fact. Don't feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. Don't trust your feelings. You trust Christ. It's nice when God speaks to our heart, and there is joy. There is feelings. You can't take that away. There was feelings in the natural realm. There's feelings in the spiritual realm. When he stirs our heart, that's worship. Worship. And you can't counterfeit it. But you know how it is. Most of the time when you leave the church and go down the road and you have to start dealing with life and you go, oh, I don't feel that anymore. You know why he does that? To teach us to keep trusting him. Don't you trust the feeling. You trust him. When you can't see anything, you trust him. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And the new birth does believe him. Salvation is the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. I remember the first time I ever heard that word, irresistible grace. And I can tell you this, when God enables you to see him, he's irresistible. Now you can't resist him. Now you see him as altogether lovely. And you know what? The wind blows where it will. You can't control the wind. You can see the effects of the wind. It says, the wind blows where it lists. You can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. You see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. You see the trees moving and the leaves moving, but you don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. We can see the effects of the wind. We can't see the Spirit moving. It'd blow over here. You know, you've seen on TV where a hurricane would come through or a tornado, and it would tear up every house except one. Why was that house spared? Why were you spared? The wind. It blows where it will. He told Ezekiel, he said, you preach to these dry dead bones. He said, can these dry bones live? He said, you preach to them. And the wind began to blow. And there was a great shaking. And God gave life. It's irresistible. You can't resist it. Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law, that you might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart. And here's what your heart cries, Abba, Father, or Father, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What did our Lord tell? Did he tell us to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. That's the Spirit's work. You know what the Spirit's work is? It's to take the things of Christ and show them unto you. It is the Spirit that quickens. It's the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit that enables you to worship. We could come in here and just go through the motions, but unless the Spirit of God breathes upon the Word, it's just letter. It's just dry letters. And the gospel is the instrument the Holy Spirit uses to give life to dead sinners. Not some other gospel. There's no life. There's no life in a lie. Listen. Colossians 1:21, let me give you several verses. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say by the preaching of some foolishness. And every first false gospel is nothing more than a preaching of a bunch of foolishness. Isn't it amazing how God takes the word of a mere man, a sinner, a sinner standing between the living and the dead, a dead sinner speaking to dead sinners. And God speaks through them words and gives life. That's how God's ordained it. If men are going to be saved, they have to hear the gospel. Have to. It's imperative. James 1:18, of his own will, of God's own will, beget he us with the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Ephesians 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted. Now, when did you trust? After you heard the word of truth. You can't trust in a God you've never heard of. You just can't do it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, when is a sinner born again? Let me give you a deep answer. You don't know when a person's saved? When it pleases God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When will that man believe? When it pleases God. Paul said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, it pleased him. It pleased him to show you mercy. It pleased him. It pleased him to send you a preacher. All his elect, he'll send a preacher to cross their path. He'll see to it. He'll see to it. How can a person know when they're born again? When you know who Christ is, John 17:3. This is eternal life, that you may know him. Not know about him, but know him. I know about Joe Biden. I've seen him on TV. I may know him if he walked up because of, you know, what I've seen with him, but I don't really know him. I don't know much about his personality. I don't know much about him. But if I ever got to sit down with him, then I would get to know him. And eternal life is to know him. When you believe on Christ, And when you have Christ, now listen to this, and let me read you this in 1 John 5, verse 10. How do we know? He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God gave of his Son. It's that simple. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Do you believe the record? What record? The record of God's Son. The record that God has given unto us. How are men going to believe in a Christ they've never heard of? They've never heard the record. They've never heard the report. Who's going to believe our report? To whom the arm of the Lord's been revealed unto them. He that hath the Son, here's plain and simple. He that hath the Son hath life. And if they don't have life, they don't have him. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Why did God inspire a man named John to write this? Why did God record it? Record it for us. And why tonight am I standing here just reading to you these verses? These things have I written unto you. Now you think about that. Sure, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And who wrote that? John did. Same one we're preaching out of in John's gospel. Same John. Peter, James, and John. James's brother, John, who laid on the bosom of our Lord, who was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, our eyes have seen and our hands have handled the words of life. And this I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. I used to hear people talk, you know, when it's not a think so or a hope so. It's a know so salvation. It's based on Christ, who is the Word. We must be born again. We must have life. And if he don't give us life, we can't give ourselves life. And no matter how hard we try, you think about how sobering this is. No matter how hard a man tries, he cannot figure it out or understand it. And that's what makes men mad. You say, don't tell me I can't figure it out. I'm a pretty smart person. Well, you can't. But then he can teach you. And when he teaches you the truth, he said that they will bring strong delusions, that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But you hear it and you go, there's something wrong about that. You know what that is? It's death in the pot. It gives a dead tone. It's not life. And I pray as we preach that God enables you to believe and trust him. Let's pray.